All right, let's open our Bibles to Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, and that is our kickoff scripture. And it says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you so much for the power of your Spirit that's working in each of our lives. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that we know that we're never alone. Because as a believer, we know that you live inside of us. You've made your home. Help us to be able to walk in a level of holiness, Lord, not to grieve you. And Lord, we just want to learn from you today. Learn from your wisdom on the things of God that we need to know to be able to have success in our life. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips in Jesus' name. And thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Now, what I want to look at first, and it's kind of a thinking back a little bit, but this is the one thing I believe in our life that holds us back more than anything else other than the devil. And the devil uses this against us. And that's our negative past. Our negative past. For whatever reason, many times, remember last week we looked at the fact that some people maybe make resolutions 10 times and they still never achieve them. And that's because sometimes the negative past, we remember that I've never achieved this before, so how could I ever do it now? Now, I think of somebody in the Bible that was able to overcome their past, and it's and I think it's a great thing, and that's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. And it says, "By faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace." Now, Rahab was one of the Canaanites, and she lived in a town called Jericho, I believe, wasn't it? And that's where the nation of Israel come, and they marched around 7 times, and the walls fell down. Well, 2 spies went in and kind of checked out the land and, seen what things were happening. And the king knew that he was there. They were there, so he wanted to catch them. But they went to Rahab's inn, and she decided to hide them. She went against her king. She went against her culture. Went against everything because she knew that she needed to have a change. Because as this pagan prostitute finally understood that if she didn't make a change in her life, she and her family would all be destroyed. All of them were going to be destroyed. So she risked everything, banking on what she believed that the God of Israel could do. And then, as we know, that later on, she evidently fell in love with one of the spies, ended up marrying one of them, and then she gave birth to some children, and their children was named Boaz, who was the great-grandfather of King David. So think about that. That one decision in her life to change, to want to do something, because she knew she needed a new normal. So too many times in our life, we just go along with the normal. Well, this is normal for me. This is how I've been doing it for years. And we're walking along this normal path with everybody else that's normal, and then we're getting nowhere other than Normalville, right? Well, maybe God has something better for you. Maybe God has something better for me. So we need to make a change. We need to start doing something different. And as she recognized that she needed a new normal, and she risked a lot of things and made some changes in her life, and then, I don't know about you, but she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Because he's, of the King David, of that Davidic line. So that's powerful. So what I know is Acts 3:19 says, "Repent and return so your sins may be wiped away, so that times of refreshing may come." I don't know about you, but I love a fresh start. I love them times of refreshing. Oh, repentance is one of those things that's kind of a lost art in the body of Christ these days. But yet it's something that if we do, the benefit package that goes along with it, when you repent, you turn from it, and you give it over to God, then what happens? God keeps you down, don't he? No. Refreshing. Restoration. He lifts you up. He lifts you up. He makes you look at things in a different way. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that Jesus Christ changed my life. I was going along a normal path for me. You know, I was a partier. I was doing all these things. But, you know, in my life here in Albia, I knew I needed a change. And I didn't think I could do it here, so I moved to Denver, Colorado, just to get away from my past. But you know, my past knows the way to Denver. There's an interstate that goes right there, and my past followed that interstate to some degree. Not until I decided, I got to make a bigger change, and I decided to buy a Bible and start going to church. And I started to check some things out. Then after a year, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and my normal changed. I wasn't that same normal anymore. I started to do things to me that were abnormal. I started to pray. I started to read my Bible. I quit cussing. I quit drinking. I quit doing all these things. And it was by the power of God, because I tried to do a lot of that stuff on my own. But He gave me a new normal. Maybe you struggle with some of these things. I know that Jesus Christ, if you release it to Him, He'll give you some assistance in that area, because He's into the change, right? That old joke, Jesus paid the price, we get to keep the change, amen? So we get to keep that change in our life. So, change is necessary. Now think about it. Now maybe we're not that bad. You say, Pastor, I wasn't like you. I'm a nice person. You know what I mean? You're nice. Everybody likes you. But you know, you're still a few degrees off. And you know, if you start out on a journey and you head and you're a few degrees off, you're going to end up a mile away from where you need to be. Just that little tweaking of degrees to get you back on track is really what we need. You know, I think of a company, maybe some of you young people have never heard of this company or remember them, you should. But if you remember the company Kodak? Some of you remember Kodak, right? They ruled the roost when it come to film and picture taking. Kodak dominated. You know, they filed for bankruptcy. They were not willing to change with the digital era. And they filed for bankruptcy, I think, in 2012. I read on the internet. So we need a new change. Sometimes, now, I'm not saying we follow everything the world's got. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about spiritual things and about getting into life for Christ. So, you know, we need to be ready for whatever life throws our way so we adapt, so we can adapt to survive. Now, when we start to fear the mundane more than the unknown, that's when we start to process, because I know that change is hard. Doing something different or making that kind of alteration, that behavioral modification in our life that sometimes is necessary to be able to get us to the next level of where we want to be, that is difficult. To be able to walk away from some of that stuff and to grab a hold, and I know it was for me. That's why I had to surround myself with people that would lift me up and not pull me down. Because that behavioral modification is important, and it needs to start on the spiritual side. Remember, when we set goals, I really stress and reiterate the fact that we need to set spiritual goals, and then emotional goals, and then goals for our body. The sad thing is, most people set goals for their body and their emotions, and they forget about the spiritual side of man. But when we put the spirit side of man in charge and want to give him dominance in our life, then we start to really line up with God, and that helps us in the horizontal and being able to deal with man. So we need to make sure that we keep our priorities. Priorities are very important as we seek to find a new normal for our life or what's normal for our family. I don't know about you, but sometimes in our life, you know, even as Christians, sometimes our family atmosphere can be abnormal. You know, we need to find a new normal, something that brings success so that we can accomplish, you know, the things that we want to do and be able to lead our young people to Christ. Now, I see the idea, there's a difference between transformation and confirmation. Now, confirmation is a religious word for some denominations. That's not what I mean by that. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. That's what I mean by confirmation. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many remember that movie by Tom Cruise? I think it was called Night and Day. Wasn't that the name of it? I wrote it down here. Let me check again. I think it was, yeah, Night and Day. Remember he said, with me, without me. Remember, am I the only one ever seen that movie? Okay. With me, without me. Transformation, confirmation. If we're not willing to be transformed, if we're willing, we're going to be up here. But if we settle for confirmation, just be conformed to the world, we're never going to have success in the things of God. We're never going to be where we need to be. We can never get there. Because it's a sad situation when we have to fit in with the world. The last thing I want to do is fit in with the world. You know, I don't want to be a trend follower. I want to be a trendsetter. Amen? That's where we need to be with the things of God. We need to be able to walk away from the things of the world that hold us back. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the world in the confirmation era of trying to make us all fit the same, where y'all need this, y'all need that if you want to fit in. Well, they try to put us in a mold, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes if you're in a mold too long, you get moldy. I don't know. I don't mind moldy cheese because you can cut that off, but moldy bread I won't touch. You know, I don't like it when I open the bag and I see mold. You know, just, you know, bummer. There went that bread, you know. And the same with us. We get mold on us. We get the contamination of this world because we've been exposed to the elements here. See, the world system has a negative pull upon us. And it's trying to hold us back. And it's trying to make us so that we don't fulfill the things that God's put in our life, in our heart to do and to accomplish. And that's why, you know, we need to break that mold and be able to throw that away so we don't get moldy in our life. It's hard to get mad at a situation if we're unwilling to change it. You know, maybe we have things going on in our life we're mad about, but unless we're willing to change it, you know, it's still going to stay the same. You know, what are some things in our life that maybe are holding us back? You know, maybe we stay up too late at night and we don't get enough sleep. Maybe we like watching movies or playing video games and we stay up till, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, knowing you got to get up at 6 or 7. Well, how do you feel at 6 or 7? I don't know about you, but when I don't get sleep, it's a bad day. Or not as good as it could have been. You know, I'm fatigued. I don't think straight. Well, then, if that's a process, and if that's our normal, that we like to do that because that's my time, but my time is holding us back from getting, you know, accomplishing things or wanting to do something, well, then that's a problem. So you need a new normal. You know, maybe we're a critical person. Maybe we have a tendency to criticize everything and everybody around us. And we wonder why we don't have any close friends. You need a new normal, right? They don't want to be around you because you're critical. You know, it reminds me of the joke, the family who went to church and they were on their way home and they were in the car and the husband and wife was just criticizing the church for the music was bad and the pastor's message was too long and, you know, all this and nobody said hi to him or different things. And all of a sudden the little boy in the back seat piped up and said, you know, all in all, it's a pretty good show for a dollar. Some of you got that. Mom and dad threw a dollar in the bucket and they thought that gave them the right to criticize everything. But the critical will not get us to where we need to be. Or perhaps we never get involved in church and wonder why we feel disconnected from people. You know, and then the blessings of God never chase us down. We need a new normal. You know, being connected in a body of Christ, I know I went for a while, just back to when I first got saved. And, you know, it's been 30 years, so it's hard to think back that far. But I remember, you know, when I first just started dabbling in Christianity and attending a little bit, never felt like I fit in because, you know, I don't know, I just never made connections like I wanted, like I know I needed to, and maybe like I wanted to. But then when I started to get involved and started to make some friends and start to meet some people, well, then I felt a part of the program. I felt a part of what things are doing. I was not just being ministered to, but I was starting to be a minister. I felt like I was doing something for God. I felt connected. And maybe that's speaking to your heart. You need a new normal. Boy, it got real quiet on that part, didn't it? But getting involved with the church and with God is a powerful thing to do. Because truth is, if we fail to plan, we're planning to fail in our life. And all it takes is a mind shift. You know what a mind shift is? It's you shift the way you look at things. You know, maybe we need to learn how to process information in a different way. Maybe you need some healing in your soul. Maybe when somebody says something to you, you predominantly take it the wrong way. When they say, oh, you look nice today, instead of saying, thank you, you say, what, I didn't look good yesterday? You know what I mean? But there's people that think that way. They take it wrong. They need healed. So we're not so sensitive to things like that. And there's a lot of other ways that we can think about that that means the same thing, so that we can find that new normal. We need to process information in a new way. If you don't like where you're at now, maybe you're looking at things wrong. You know, sometimes I believe that we spend too much time being a thermometer rather than a thermostat. And I believe that God's given us potential to be both. Thermometers, they can only respond to existing temperature, and that's just what that's what they report. You know what I mean? Maybe things are going bad in life. So the only thing you can do as a thermometer, if that's what you're acting like, is just reflect what's going on in your life that's bad. But I got news. They got these little gizmos now. They've had them out for a while, and they're called thermostat. Did you know you can control your climate with a thermostat? You can turn it up if you're cold. You can turn it down if you're hot. Turn the air conditioning on in the summer. You can do it in the winter if you want. That thermostat will do a lot of things. It's the same thing in our life. We need to see ourselves as a thermostat where we have the ability to change our climate by the power of God. We don't have to take the situation and circumstances the way they are. Just because they're coming our way don't mean that's what we have to accept. We can fight back. We can resist in the name of Jesus. The Bible says resist the devil and he's going to flee from us. So there's a lot of promises that God's given us His Word that we can start to be a thermostat rather than just a thermometer all the time. But in doing all these, sometimes we got to have a plan. Remember I said you got to plan a work and work a plan? Well, that's where goal setting. I'm tying this all together now. Goal setting. I'm just going to mention a few things about how to set goals and what we've already talked about. And I encourage you to look them up and download those messages if you like. And I believe they'll make an impact on your life. Because having a goal is important to keep us on track for that behavior modification. Because human nature is that we're lazy. We tend to take the path of least resistance. You know, and that's because it's easier. So number one, you got to pray and seek God's wisdom in setting goals. You know, what's the goals for your life that God has? You know, God will give us the desires of our heart. I believe He'll give us the desires, and He'll also put the desires that we need in our heart. Then you got to write them down, get them out of your head so you can remember them. Put them down in a place so that you can see them. Then after you write your goals down, then you make action steps. Remember, action steps are steps that demand a response from you. Instead of saying, I want to read more of the Bible this year, remember last week we put down, I want to read 2 chapters every day right after I get up. That's an action step. Your goal was to read more of the Bible, but the action step gave you a plan so how you could accomplish that goal. And you can use that in whatever goals that you want to set for your life, whatever they may be. Then you need to put a deadline on the goals. Remember I said if your goal was to lose 20 pounds in 2015, most people would wait to November before they started. That's why you want to say, I want to lose 20 pounds by maybe June the 1st. There's a deadline. You got to start now to get her done. Remember I said also you got to review your goals daily, or not daily, but regularly. Review your goals. Look them over. Keep them in front of you, like Habakkuk said. You write stuff down so you can run with it. So you review those goals. Maybe every week, every Sunday, or Sunday night be a good day. Then also, lastly, if you can handle it, get an accountability partner. But be ready. Because if you give that accountability partner, how many said, hey, you're my friend. I want you to speak into my life. I want you to tell me what I'm doing wrong. I want you to encourage me in finishing these goals. You know, people have told me they want me to do that. They're lying. You know, I had a guy tell me one time, I want you to tell, you know, if I'm not doing this, I want you to tell me. I told him he got mad and left the church. Sorry, I just did what you told me. You know, and it wasn't that big a deal either. So make sure if you get an accountability partner, you can handle it. Because that's just what you get what you say what you get sometimes. Now, closing, you know, I just pray, you know, that Lord stirred us each up on the inside, not to settle anymore. I want 2015 to be a great year for each of us. You know, God wants to take us from glory to glory. That's what the Bible says. You know, what I like about God is He hasn't called us just to be a conqueror. He's called us to be more than a conqueror. We conquer conquerors. That's what God's set in front of us. We just need to be a part of it and, you know, plan a work and work a plan. So if you haven't set your goals yet for this year, you know, take some time maybe later today. Sit down, get quiet with God. spend a little time wanting to, you know, say, God, what do you want for 2015? What do you want to do? What do you want me to do for you? How do we accomplish this? You know, I want to be a part. You know, life is too short to waste and just piddling around. So we want to make sure that we're where we need to be. Let's close in prayer.